So we're up to the Gemara in Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, "Dinei nefashos maschilin min hatzad." If you remember, this comes from the Mishnah, and it says, as opposed to dinei momenus. Let me just take this phone away. So in the case of dinei momenus, we can start with any of the dayanim, but in the case of dinei nefashos, then we go min hatzad. What does it mean min hatzad? We start from the junior dayanim, and as we explain, because we're concerned that if the godel will express his opinion and he'll say that he thinks that this particular person is guilty, then everybody else is going to be afraid to disagree, which would mean that they'd be influenced by his opinion. Everybody would vote that he's chayev misa. And as we've seen our entire sugya, that's what we're trying to avoid. Says the Gemara, mino hanemili, how do you know? Where is this learned from? So Gemara brings two psukim. Omer of Achaba Papa Omar Kro Loi Sane Al Riv. Do not answer Al Riv, and we make a drasha, Loi Sane Al Rov. The word riv is actually spelt in the Torah without a yud. And if it's without a yud, so we have to read it, Lesana al Rav, do not argue with the elder. Look at Rashi, just in line with this Gemara, slightly below. Lesana al Rav, ksiv below yud. It's written the word riv in the Torah is spelt without a yud. Mashma, loy tachlik. Do not argue al mufla shel bezdin. Do not argue with the greatest one in bezdin. Hilkoch loy maschlin on mine. Therefore, we cannot begin with him. Dilma chazilei choiva. Maybe he will see to pass a judgment of choiva that the person is guilty. Veloy palginon in ale. And nobody will want to argue with him. Therefore, maschilin min Hatzad, the Bach is Magia Shemo Yishmo Echod Divrei Echod Min Hamazakim V'Yaskim Imoisa. To the contrary, we begin Min Hatzad. People there are objective. Maybe some of the Dayanim would actually express their opinion that maybe he's innocent. Others will go along with that, and there'll be more chance that we'll get him off the hook in the end. But if you start with the Godel, nobody's going to want to disagree with him. And if he says guilty, well, that's it. This fellow is doomed. Says the Gemara. By the way, the Mefarshim point out that we must not make a mistake. There is no issa to argue with the senior dayan. Every dayan is allowed to express their opinion. Rather, what we're concerned in, as Rashi says, maybe they'll feel uncomfortable to do so. So Bishleim, in the case of Dinei Momenus, where, as we've seen the whole time, we have no agenda in one direction or another. But in Dinei Nefashos, we very much do have an agenda. We're always trying to do whatever we can to ensure that ends up innocent. So if that case, he paskens a guilty verdict, people will be afraid to disagree, and therefore the writing is on the wall. Says the Gemara, that's one pasuk. Now the Gemara brings another pasuk. Rabba Barbachana Omer of Yoichanon Mehocha. So another pasuk. Here it's talking about, if I remember correctly, Novois HaYisraeli. Novois was considered to be a Moired B'Malchus, a rebel against the king, and there needed to be a psak, what to do with him, whether he's Chayev Misa. So the Pasuk says, Vayomer David La'anoshov. David HaMelech said to his men, Chigru Ish Es Harboi. People, you should now get your sword. Vayachgru Ish Es Harboi. And then Vayachker Gam David is Harboi. And finally, David took his Harav as well. So the Mefarshim explains, Rashi says over here, if you look at Rashi, Vayachker Gam David, David is mentioned only at the end of the list. Ba'achreina, you see that he's only mentioned at the end. Nimnu Olov, only then is he counted Ladoino Mishomer B'Malchus. It's not just referring to the actual holding of the sword. Apparently, it's a reference also to the psak, whether bichlal, he should in fact be killed by the sword, And you see that where is Dovid HaMelech mentioned? Only the end of the list. So this is another proof that the one who is the Godel, in this case, clearly Dovid HaMelech, is consulted last. Now, says the Gemara, a very important halacha. Omar Rav. Rav says the following chidush. We're on the sixth bottom line. Shoyne Adam l'talmidoi. Somebody can teach his Talmud v'don imoy b'dinei nefashis, and then sit together with him in a bezdin b'dinei nefashis. What does that mean? What's the chiddush? What's going on? Have a look at Rashi towards the end of the narrow lights. Says Rashi, Shoyne Adam l'talmidei. A person is allowed to teach his Talmud. Imagine a certain Shaila crops up in Bezdin, and one of the Dayanim wants to teach his Talmud the subject matter. So then, Shoyne Adam l'talmidei, Umare loy ponim. And he can show him different directions, Lizchus, within this judgment. He'll say, listen, I need to teach you this sugya. Apparently you have not learned it, so I'm going to teach you why yes, why no. And then, v'don imoy. Then when it comes to actually judging the case, the Talmud and the Rebbe can join forces and be part of the Bezdin. V'nimne imoy, and can indeed be reckoned together with him. Oy lizchus, oy lechoiva, umatin hadin al pi haTalmid, and we're happy to paskin the din, even taking into consideration the opinion of the Talmid, keechod min hadayonim, as one of the as the dayonim. Now, what is the chiddush of this Rashi? The chiddush of this Rashi is as follows. As we all know, we've been learning Sanhedrin now for a long time. Whenever we need a Bezdin of 3, of 23, of 71, nobody is there just parroting somebody else. It's very important that we have 3 opinions, or 23 opinions, or 71 opinions, and then we take the majority vote. But if somebody expresses their opinion and another one just says, okay, fine, yeah, I'll say the same, then that's not really considered a separate opinion. If you believe you've come to this conclusion based on your own thinking, then that's opinion which can then be tallied up. So the chiddush of this Gemara is, when the Talmud was just taught the sugya by his Rebbe, so maybe the reason why he's coming to a particular conclusion is because his Rebbe just taught him the sugya 5 minutes ago. And obviously, if the Rebbe learned the sugya and he leans in a particular direction, and that's the Talmud's, what he's just been makabel from his Rebbe 5 minutes ago, so maybe that would not be considered now a separate opinion on the Bezdin. This is not really what you think. This is basically what your Rebbe said in a shir 5 minutes ago. When he taught you the sugya, you knew nothing about it. So the chiddush of Rav is, and we'll see the Gemara is about to explain in more detail, is that no. It's true I didn't know the sugya. Now I do. But now that in fact I've been taught the sugya, I'm considered to be independent and I'm expressing my own opinion. And even in the event that I actually end up coming to the same conclusion, expressing the same opinion as my Rebbe, that's considered 2 separate opinions, my opinion and your opinion. The fact that we both say the same is not just me repeating whatever you're saying. So the Gemara challenges now this statement of Rav, and we'll see in the answer to the question, Rav's opinion will become even more understandable. Says the Gemara, Meisvei, we're now on the fourth bottom line. We have a kasha. We have a braisa that says as follows. Hatayrois v'hatmeyos. When you have issues of tumah v'tayra, we discussed this early on, there can be countless questions of tumah v'tayra. We have a particular food or keli. We're not sure if it became tome. Can it go into the Beis HaMikdash, etc., etc. So we need to ask a shayla. In an issue like that, ho'av ubenoi, a father and a son, or harav v'talmidoi, or Rebbe and his Talmud, moinin lohem shnayim, would be considered two separate opinions. We'll see in a moment. Rashi will explain more. But dine momenus, v'dine nefashos, v'dine makos, v'kiddush achoydesh, v'ibur shana, then avu benoi, or harav talmidai, ein meinin lohen elo echod, question mark. The Gemara is making a distinction between a question of tumah v'tayra, as opposed to a question of momenus or nefashos or kiddush achoydesh, makas, ibur hashana, where there a father and a son or a talmud and a rebbe would not be considered two opinions. And that seems to absolutely contradict the statement of Rav. Rav just said, even in the case of dine nefashos, a rebbe can teach his talmud and then they can both sit on the same bezdin together. And yet we've just seen in a braisa that no, they cannot sit on the same bezdin together, even for dine momenus, never mind dine nefashos. Now, what is the distinction that we are making? What is the difference between tumah v'tayra as opposed to nefashos and makos and momenus? Have a look at Rashi. Rashi's on the wide line, says Rashi. Hatmeyais v'hatoyris shehoira osan b'yachid. What does that mean, shehoira osan b'yachid? They're paskening hoira, base hoira, moira, moira derech. Hoira osan, the psak halacha in the case of tumah v'tayra can be done b'yachid. There is no requirement to have a bezdin. If you have a question of tumah v'tayra, then you can ask your local Orthodox rabbi, which, by the way, is true until this very day. I get asked shailas every single day. I already have to deal with one this morning. A shaila in hilchas nida. A shaila in hilchas nida is a question of tumah v'tayra. Is the wife tahira? Is she tameya? Etc. etc. You do not need a bezdin for that. You only need a yochid. Now, ve'ein bohem minyan. There is no pre-required number. How many do you need for tumah v'tayra? Do you need three or do you need 23? The answer is you don't need any number. One will suffice. Elohim kein cho'ilkin. Unless, however, there's a dispute. Imagine there's a question of tumah v'tayra, and you have one opinion that says this and one opinion that says others. Okay, so now we need somebody to be machria. V'tzorich lamoid l'minyan. So now, indeed, we need to now call up somebody else, not for the sake of having a bezdin. I don't need a bezdin to pass in a shayla of tumah v'tayra. But there's just two different opinions. I'm not sure. I say this, but I know somebody else says the other. Let's bring in a third opinion to decide. And we'll see. Im rabu hatemein oyamatarin. Let's see. Will the majority decide it's tamei, or the majority will decide it's tahir? As mentioned, not that I need a bezdin. If the first rav who has asked the question says it's unequivocal, it's clear cut to me, it's obviously Tomei or obviously Tahir, then that's fine, that's a psak. But if he says, I'm not sure, and they ask somebody else, and he says, I'm not sure. One says, I think Tomei, I'm not sure. The other one says, I think Tahir. We need a majority opinion. So now we'll turn to a third person in a case like that. Then, moinin esoav ubenoi. Then I have no question to include a father and a son. Oh, yes, a Rav, a Talmidai, oi, Rav and his Talmid, b'shnayim, no problem to consider them two opinions. Why? Because as mentioned, I don't actually need a Bezdin. I don't need a Bezdin in a case like this. However, says the Gemara, says Rashi, Avoldine Mominus. Oh, that's a different question. Dine Mominus. The Nefoshois. If it is in a case of Nefoshois, where over there you do, however, need a minion. Umakoi Shemoi Minion Shelohem. There, the number that you required is af betchilas hadin. There you need a minimum number, whether it's 3 or 23 dayonim, even from the beginning of the din. What does that mean from the beginning of the din? Not like in Tumah v'Tahara, where you could quite happily start off with one pesach. You might need to bring more people on board if they can't come to a conclusion. But dinei mominus and dinei nefoshos, right from the outset, there is a certain minimum number that's required. There's no such thing as mominus be'echod or dinei nefoshos. Be'echod has got to have 3 or 23. So there, even betchilas hadin min ha-toira, you have to have a certain number. What is that? Shezet, tzorich shloisha. The dinei nefoshos is chof gimel, there I need 23. V'chein kiddush ha-choydesh. We learn this right at the beginning of the Masechta. Also shetzorech shloisha, because it says the word mishpat, the mishpat ksivbe. It says the word mishpat regarding kiddush ha-choydesh. It says ki choyk li Yisrael hu mishpat leleke Yaakov. U'mukmin aleve kiddush ha-choydesh. And the Gemara explains that that pasuk is a reference to kiddush ha-choydesh in Masechta's Rosh Hashanah. V'chein ibur ha-shana shetzorech shloisha u'chamisha v'shiva. As we've explained early on in Masechta, sometimes 3, sometimes 5, sometimes 7, for scenarios that we will not discuss at the moment. But the bottom line is, in those questions, those types of shilas, a minimum minion is mandatory. So over there, Ein ho'avu b'noi, k'sherim zeim zeh, v'loi ho'rav v'talmid nimnin elo echo. That's not considered two separate opinions, it's only considered one. We'll leave the rest of Rashi. So Al Koponivoif, and we have a big kasha. How can Rav say that a Rebbe can teach his Talmud the Sugya and then sit together on the Bezdin? When we have a Mufurash of Bryce that says, no, that's only true by Tumah v'Tahara, but certainly not with Dine Nefoshos or Dine Mominos, wherever I require a minimal number. Says the Gemara on the base, that I'll explain a little bit more. Do you know what Rav meant? Rav is the original one who said this chiddush, that the Rebbe can teach the Talmud and then sit together with the Bezdin. He was not talking about every single possible case. Ki koma Rav kegoin Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi. What's unique about Rav Kahana and Rav Asi? The ligmarei de Rav havatzrichi. It's true, they needed to be taught the sources, the subject matter, by their Rebbe. But the lesvarei de Rav loy havatzrichi. But they never needed the logic of their Rebbe. In other words, imagine if you were teaching now this Gemara to your five-year-old son, okay? So you'd tell him the principle, and you know there's a halacha of a bezdin, and a dinin afashas, and dinin mominus. Imagine if you turned around to him and say, okay, my little child, so what would you say, what would you think in this case? He's got no idea what to think. He's not developed enough to think. So what does he think? He's got no idea. Whatever you tell him, that's what he'll say. Says the Gemara, that's not what Rav was talking about. Rav was talking about where you had a very highly competent Talmud, Rav Kahana, Rav Asi. It happens to be that in a particular subject matter, they were unaware maybe of the basic, of the background, of the source, so they needed their Rebbe just to teach them the background. But once they've been taught the background, then they're perfectly capable of forming their own svara, their own logic. Then it's no longer just parrot fashion. So there's no problem for a Rav and a Talmud to be on the same Beis Din. Why? Because we would certainly consider them two separate opinions. After all, every Talmud Chacham in the world is always a Talmud of a Rebbe. He always learnt it from someone. So why don't we say that every Talmud Chacham is disqualified from Beis Din because everything he has is from his Rebbe? The answer is no, he was taught the logic, but now he's a Talmud Chacham in his own right. He was taught the background, but now there's a Talmud Chacham in his own right. He's able to come to the logic. So when we have the Din Torah and we ask this Dayan, tell me, what do you hold? What does he really mean? Based on the information that, yes, I was taught by my Rebbe, I have come to my personal conclusion based on my own logic that the Psak is Chayev or Zakai. Then Rav said there's no problem to sit on the same Beis Din. If you look at the top Rashi, Rashi explains, Ki koma Rav, the Talmidoi Nimna. When did Rav say that a Talmid could be counted together with his Rebbe on the Beis Din? Lo yomar elo. He only ever said that Kagoyin Rav Kahana Varavasi. De Ligmare Havetzorech. What does Ligmare mean? Like the word Gemara. They needed to be taught the Sugya. Sheshoma mi Rabbi. That's true. He needed to be taught, Lamasha Shama Me Rabbi, I needed to know, okay, the Gemara says this, the Mishnah says this, etc., etc. Aval Lesvare, what does that mean, Lesvare? Says Rashi, Limtsoi Rayas, now to find proofs, Ule Yashayiv HaTaimim, and to reconcile all the different reasonings, Einon Tzrichin. For that, they didn't need their Rebbe, they're a perfectly competent Talmud Chacham themselves. Hilkoch, therefore, Gavra ba'api nafshehu. So then he's considered to be somebody independent on his own right. He's not just mimicking or parrot fashioning. Mishum gemara. If you're going to say, no, he's not an independent opinion because he did, however, learn this from his Rebbe, Deshamamine, because he heard that after all from his Rebbe, says Rashi, Kol Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael Talmidim, Nami Mi Moshe Kiblu. We were all the Kabbalah Torah from Moshe. Moshe taught us everything we know. Ve'ein Eilu Tamin Havonas Liboy. Ein Eilu Tam Havonas Liboy. But yeah, it says Rashi, we're not going to say that now the logic of the Talmid is just copying the Rebbe. De Neima Im Hoysa Chochmosoi Mipi Rav Acher Havoim Tam Acher. We're not going to say, had I only had a different Rebbe, maybe I would have thought differently. We all had a Rebbe, we all had Moshe Rabbeinu, and then the Talmud, and then the Talmud, and then the Talmud, and now we come to our own logic. So you can hardly disqualify, says Rashi, you can't disqualify somebody because he's a Talmud. Everyone is a Talmud. In fact, he's called a Talmud Chacham. So as long as he's reached a level of competence where he's able now to come to his own conclusion based on logic, as opposed to a very junior Amoretz of a Talmud where he really is unable to do so, that's indeed when he cannot sit on a Beis Din with his Rebbe. But if he's able to produce his own logic, then yes. Yeah, Reb Larry, sorry.
Didn't we learn months and months and months ago that you're not allowed to contradict your Rebbe? So if there's such an inyan, wouldn't I be intimidated to come up with my own sock if it goes against the Rebbe?
Okay, that's what we mentioned before. This Leisana al Riv that we said before is not an Issa. You are allowed to contradict your Rebbe. We saw it's a Gemara. Yeah, we did see it a while ago. You are allowed to contradict your Rebbe in the case of a Din Torah. There's ways of doing it. There's a Shaila, what Nusach you have to say, etc., etc. Bottom line is, yes, you are allowed to.
Okay, but you're allowed to. But my inclination is not to go against my Rebbe, right? If Rav Asher Weiss is my Rebbe, and he and I are on a Beis Din together, and he says, halacha, am I going to really feel free and say, you know, in all due respect to Rav Asher, but I disagree?
It depends on the level of competence of the Talmud. I remember I was zeicher to do Shimush Talmidei Chachamim for many years, but my Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman Ullman, zeicher tzadik levracha, was one of the prime Talmidim of Rav Ozna. And I remember very clearly there were some very, very serious, serious issues that I had to ask my Rebbe. And on occasion, he would say, listen, this is what my Rebbe, Rav Ozna Paskind, and that's it, is a closed book. I'm not going to argue. And there were other occasions where he clearly said, the halacha is such and such. And I would say, oh, that's interesting, because I know that your Rebbe, Rav Ozna, seemed to say differently. And you'd say, yes, I know. I'm aware of that. And he said it in a very humble, modest way, but Not that I think my Rebbe is wrong, but you know, I think you can understand differently, or maybe the Minhag is otherwise. And he was fully prepared, if necessary, to disagree with his Rebbe, which is no problem whatsoever. Okay, let's just make a
And
start.
one second, and you don't think there'll be an inclination for the Talmud to lean towards the Pesach of the Rebbe?
Not if he's competent enough. Unless we say, like in a case of Dinei Nefoshes, if the Godel would go first, that's why we avoid the Godel going first, for that very reason.
Right.
Okay,
so sorry.
Certain first impressions last, especially if the first impression was expressed by your Rebbe. Okay, let's just make a very brief start to the next Gemara, although we'll have to complete this Mitzashem next time. Says the Gemara, Omar Rebavo. If you remember, this entire sugya that we've been doing for the last number of weeks is all based on that original Mishnah, that a whole long list of differences between Dinei Nefoshes and Dinei Mamonos. When you start, and who expresses their opinion, and do you pask in the same day, and you have to reconsider, and can you backtrack, etc., etc., etc. So, Omar above all, Asara Devarim Yesh Bein Dinei Mamonos L'Dinei Nefoshes. There are altogether in that list in the original Mishnah, if you count up, you will see there are 10 items mentioned on that list that differentiate between Nefoshes and Mamonos. The Kulon, however, Ein Noyagin B'Shoir HaNiskal. Shoir HaNiskal is a very fascinating halacha. Shoir HaNiskal, which by the way, we've discussed early on in the Masechta, a shoir, an ox that killed somebody, the shoir itself is stoned. Now, we would have thought, even though it's true, we're putting the shoir to death, but obviously we do not consider this Dinei Nefoshes. Rather, this is a case of Dinei Mamonos, what to do with your property, i.e. with your shoir. Having said that, however, the halacha says that we learn from a posuk that just like when you put a man to death, we need a bezdin of 23, so too the shoir haniskal. You might remember we learned from the posuk of Gam Ba'olov. I think we treat the shoir just like the bailiff. So the question is, if we treat the shoir like the bailiff, with regard to the halacha that we require 23 dayonim, does that mean that we consider shoir haniskal as a case of dinei nefoshes for everything mentioned in the Mishnah, for all 10 halachas? That's what the Gemara is teaching us, that no, not at all. The kulon ein noyagin b'shoir haniskal. None of the halachas that pertain to dinei nefoshes, none of them apply to shoir haniskal. Chutz mi esrim v'shloisha, except for one solitary halacha, and that's the halacha that you have to have 23. 23 dayonim, which is a halacha which is exclusive to dinei nefoshes and not dinei mamonos, that is indeed applicable also in the case of shoir haniskal, based on a pasuk that we mentioned earlier on in the Masechta. But all the other halachas, if you look quickly at Rashi, Asara dvarim tnan b'masnisin v'kulam eino noegim b'din shoir haniskal, liyo is shave l'dinei nefoshes. We do not compare shoir haniskal to dinei nefoshes, af al pi shomarnu b'perek kama, even though we said in the very first perek, le'inyan esrim v'shloisha, with regard to that specific halacha of the number of dayanim required, there we said, Kamisas Bailim, Kach Misas Shoir. Just like the Bailim, had he been up for sentence, we'd need 23, so too the Shoir. So over there specifically, says Rashi, Chutz mi Esrim Shloisha, Shetzorich Chof Gimel Kedinei Nefoshes. It's true in the case of Shoir Aniskal, we do require 23 Dayanim. With regard to that particular halacha, we consider it like Dinei Nefoshes, but not with regard to anything else. So all other 9 halachas in the Mishnah, with regard to those, we absolutely consider shoir haniskal to be dinei mamonos. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we have to hold it over here. And Emitz Hashem, we'll continue next time. For those who are interested, Be'ez Hashem, we have a parasha shir tonight about the appreciation of living here in this country in Eretz Yisrael.
Rabbi, when is our last shir?
Be'ezus Hashem on Monday morning, Erev Tisha B'Av.
And then we're out from then till Rosh Chodesh Elul.
Correct. Okay, we might be coming to Netanya in the summer, so maybe I'll come and give you a visit.
Not, what do you mean? You know what I mean? You might, if you're coming, you're calling me. I mean, I don't understand that. I might be.